Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gen Rush podcast for Dead by Daylight. I'm your host, Ys, and, you know, the 4.5.0 patch notes have just been put into live about 2 days ago, so I figured that for the first episode of this podcast, we should go over what is happening right now on, well, this would have been February 9th. It is currently the 11th. And these changes have been interestingly received from many members of the community, I'll say that. Just to name a few, the changes that have gone into act have been a new user interface, which has most people feeling like it's more of a mobile game interface rather than a full-screen desktop game. You have the rework of the clown, the addition of a new bottle that he can throw. And we have some changes to some quite interesting perks, such as Hex Undying. So we are going to go ahead and jump right into the new user interface. What can you expect the next time you watch someone play DBD or you yourself play DBD? Well, so the reason that people have been comparing the new user interface to maybe Dead by Daylight Mobile or a mobile game in general is because from where the user interface used to be, which was just down in the bottom left for the survivors and then down on the bottom right for your perks. Now they have kind of scattered everything all over the place, and they've just made some things very big and some things very small now for some reason. Like, for instance, the blood point calculator or awarder, the little circle, is now in the top right, but it is very, very small compared to what it used to be on the left. Like smack dab in the middle left, now it's at the top right. Same thing with the generators. The generators are now in the top middle of the screen, and they're very small. It's very hard to tell at a glance what you're dealing with. Your perks are now huge in the bottom right. I don't know if that's just me that thinks that they're huge, but they do look very, very big. And then on the bottom left, you have your item with your add-ons to your item, or if you're a killer, you have your power and then your add-ons. And the new survivor interface is now, instead of it being horizontal like it was in the past, it is now vertical. And instead of it being in the bottom left, it is now in the bottom, or in the top left, vertically. So it's descending. And they now have pictures of the survivors. Instead of just a little silhouette, they now have pictures for the injured and healthy survivors. When a survivor is down on the ground, it's the same icon that it has always been, just, you know, in the new spot. Now, when a survivor is injured now, there is, instead of them being in a different silhouette, kind of a limping silhouette, they now have a, like, claw marks through them, red claw marks through them that indicate that they are injured. Now, something else that they have decided to add is a hook counter, and depending on what side you are on is what kind of counter they have added. For killer, they have added a general hook counter, so you need 12 hooks to get a perfect hook game, and now you can, there's a counter for that. Every time you hook someone, you get this little red dash that fills up the hook circle. For survivors, instead of just a general hook count, they get tally marks above each survivor's name for how many times they've been hooked. Now, this is a great change. Probably the best of the ones that they have actually done. This is probably the best change that they've implemented because it gives you a lot less guesswork to something that shouldn't have ever been a guess in the first place. As a whole, the new HUD and the new user interface is interesting. It is new, so a lot of people are going to, obviously, a lot of people don't like change in the first place. I don't think that the new interface is too bad. I just think that they need to make everything big and in sight. So they should probably move the generators from the top middle down to the bottom right again. I think that's where it was at least. And if they're going to keep the blood point awarder on the right side, they need to maybe move it down. Or I guess if they're going to put the gens back there, then they can't move it down, but either way, they need to make that bigger, because just from the few games that I've played, it's hard to kind of see what each little thing says, especially on killer. It's hard to see what you're getting the points for exactly. But otherwise, I mean, the new the new place for the survivors is going to be a little difficult to look out of my way to go look at, but at the end of the day, it's just the interface. It's not going to change the way that the game works as a whole. But a lot of people's issue isn't, I mean, they don't like the interface, but a lot of people's issue is that we told Behavior that we didn't like this change. Well, a lot of people do not like this change. I don't have exact numbers, but it seems like there's a lot of discontent from some people, at least. And they were given the feedback on the PTB, which is what the public test build is for. It is to give them a gauge, sort of whether we like the changes or not. And we didn't like the changes. They made slight differences, like the claw marks on the injured survivor used to be a glowing red thing, which they've changed for colorblind people because that would be kind of hard to see. But other than that, they really haven't updated anything from the PTB. So everything that was there is still there, and they still don't like it. So they're more of a fed up with the fact that Behavior acts like they're going to listen, and then they don't. Not, I mean, I don't like that either, but again, sometimes it's just, I mean, it's not good, but it's not going to kill the game, I don't think. Now, the next thing that they have decided to change is the animations for survivors standing, limp running, crawling, all that good stuff. Instead of survivors now slouching over when they're healthy, they now stand pretty much straight up. They are pretty much straight up. A very good posture, and you can very obviously tell that they are uninjured. They also run a bit differently, but I don't feel like they're running. Most people are okay with that thing. Some people are a little taken aback about how straight up they are, but other than, you know, them being having perfect posture and when they're about to get murdered, is they have an issue with the injured survivor running animation, just animation in general. The running animation for an injured survivor is very, looks like they're limping, but they're not exactly limping because they're still running at full speed, so it doesn't really make much sense. But I think that the new animations look okay. An issue with the new animations, though, could be that sometimes this could be lag, or this could be the new animations or something to do with the hitboxes, but a lot of people are getting hit by killers' lunges that should not be getting hit. Sometimes the killer will teleport over a pallet and hit a survivor, which makes absolutely no sense, obviously. Or it seems like the hitbox, your survivor hitbox, is behind your actual hitbox, so you'll get hit from 10 miles away, which, like I said, that could either be an issue with lag, or some type of code could have gotten changed around or something like that with the new hitboxes, or with the new models that messed up the hitboxes. So that's obviously not that great to be getting hit from 10 miles away. And now they've also changed some of the running animations, like the turning animations for survivors. The running animations, I feel, are pretty okay. A lot of people say that they think that they've moved slower in the animations, but I don't feel the same way. I feel like it's just the same. It's just a little bit different than it's always been. The crawling animations are a lot better now. When you go in the hatch, you don't get up and jump into the hatch now. You just kind of like slump down into the hatch, which is cool. A lot of the animations, I feel, the newer ones are more realistic, except maybe with the exception of standing completely straight when you're about to get murdered. I don't know. Like, having perfect posture at a time like this is just funny. But other than that, as far as movement, and it says here that they updated the self-heal fail animation, and they slightly raised the camera when crawling. So those are two things that I haven't noticed yet. I mean, the camera thing is, it's not incredibly noticeable, and I haven't failed the self-heal animation, so I can't exactly tell you what that looks like. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the new... Oh, and also, you can now flashlight while crouching. Just a new thing, you know? Just a new thing. Two maps also got visual updates, that being the Gideon Meat Plant and the Asylum. The Gideon Meat Plant was kind of opened up a little more, given a hell of a lot more palettes. There are a ton of palettes on this map now. There's a lot more visibility through objects and just, like I said, just openness. It got a bit of texture update, but other than there being a billion palettes now on this map, it's the same. It's generally the same map. The new Asylum maps have also gotten reworked, and they look quite a bit different, but I have not really played on the new ones yet, so I can't really comment on how exactly they've been changed, but they have been changed in some way, shape, or form. They've also given the Clown's base outfit an update, essentially, an updated model, which brings us right into the new balance, the kind of rework of the clown. So now the clown has two bottles instead of just one. One is the tonic and one is the antidote. The tonic is the purple gas that slows survivors down, and the antidote is this new gray to yellow gas that speeds them up. Now, it's speed now the thing is, the thing that I find weird about this power is that the tonic bottle, the purple bottle, is used by the clown, and the clown can walk right through it. No problem. The clown will not get slowed. But if he walks through the yellow bottle, he will be sped up, and the survivor will also be sped up. So to me, I don't know. I feel like if they really wanted to make the clown a really powerful killer, they would make it so that the survivors could not get the speed boost from the yellow clown. Or the yellow cloud, similar to how the clown doesn't get the debuff from the purple cloud. So each bottle would be for the purple bottle would be to throw the survivors, and the yellow one would be to throw it yourself. Now, they did also reduce his reload time to 3 seconds, and it's down from 5 seconds, which is good. That's been something that a lot of clown players have been asking for a very long time. As far as the antidote bottle goes, you throw it down and it's gray. 2.5 seconds passes and then it turns yellow and it will give you a 10% speed boost for 5 seconds. Yeah, a 10% speed boost for 5 seconds and will grant you the invigorated status effect. The antidote cloud lasts for 7.5 seconds, but they are smaller than the purple clouds. If you were to, let's say, overlap the antidote and the tonic on top of each other, they just cancel out. Nothing's gonna happen. To go along with the new rework of his power, they've also changed some of his add-ons. Some of them are a little more silly or mundane, like the party bottle that shoots out confetti when you shatter, or the VHS porn, which now swaps the color of the antidote and the tonic, so you can get some survivors and some mind games there. But they have other things like the fingerless parade gloves that now give you a different arc to where the bottle don't go as high, but they go further. They have things like the smelly inner soles, which gives a greater movement speed bonus when reloading. The solvent jug, which increases the invigorated effect duration. Thick cork stopper, which gives you a smaller reload time reduction. Spirit of Hartshorn moderately expands the antidote cloud area. And then we have Cigar Box. When any player becomes invigorated, they see all other players' auras within a 16-meter radius. We have Garish Makeup Kit, considerably increases invigorated effect duration, and Tattoos Middle Finger. Auras of intoxicated or invigorated survivors are revealed to you for 6 seconds. So these changes, I've never really been too big of a clown player. I've played a few little bits of clown. I'm not sure how this rework is going to help him because he has always been very, very good at shutting down loops. He's a good chase killer. You throw a bottle, you zone survivors into going into one area where you can, easily down them. But with this, I'm not sure if this is actually going to help him necessarily because it does take time for him to throw down the bottle. Takes time for him to throw it on the bottle, and then he has one less bottle to use in a chase. So then, in turn, he would have to reload sooner. And you get a 10% speed boost for about 5 seconds. That could potentially work against you by giving the survivor a 10% speed boost for 5 seconds. So while this is a cool addition, it can't possibly, I don't think it can possibly hurt him from the spot that he's in right now, but I don't think that this is going to be a huge game-breaking he's going to be the most broken killer ever now because now he has mobility. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to be... If maybe he'd go up a tier, and that would be it. But even then, this power, this new addition to this power doesn't exactly do anything for him. It's just kind of there now. And the add-ons have been changed. You know, some of them are useful. Some of them are probably still going to be just unused and useless. It's just how it is for every killer. They can try as hard as they want. They're always going to have add-ons that are just unusable just because other add-ons are better. Simply put. So, I do hope that this does help the clown, and that people can find a way to kind of weave these yellow, the antidote bottles in with the tonic bottles, and make it flow seamlessly, and actually give them an advantage in the game. But, it's not going to be me to figure out that strategy, that's for sure. Because one, I don't really play clown all that much, and two, it seems a little lackluster, but better for him to get some love than no love at all. The reduction of the cooldown, the reload time, in and of itself, is a pretty good buff. It's what he's pretty much needed for a very long time. Now, if you have the add-ons to reduce the reload time, it's going to be even better. So, the clown rework could have been better, but it's welcome nonetheless, from my point of view at least. So, with the clown rework, that was a big, huge power rework and all this. They've also updated two other killers, being the Trapper and the Wraith. The Trapper now has a set 1 in 6 chance, or 16.6% chance of succeeding, on each Bear Trap escape attempt. So it is now capped at 6. It's no longer, what it used to be was a 1 in 4 chance every time, so 25% chance, and it never, you could fail for 500 times if you got that unlucky. But now you are guaranteed to at least get out on your 6th attempt, which is good. It takes away some of that RNG, but I still feel that I do play a decent bit of Trapper, and I feel like most of the time they get out on the first or second try anyway, so I didn't really see that as being too much of a problem from just my perspective. But hopefully this will make it a bit better, that you only have a 16.6% chance, and then it goes up each time you fail. The percentage goes up until the 6th time, where it's 100%. The add-ons now also tie in with this, as they should. They shouldn't be. They were updated properly with the new chance of escaping. So now stuff like Wax Brick might actually be okay, but we'll have to see about that one. As for the Wraith, now the Wraith will have no shimmer when he is more than 20 meters away. He has also gotten a uncloak speed boost from 1 second to 1.25 seconds. There was a bug with Wraith that would cause him to fully uncloak when he was kicking a generator or breaking a pallet, instead of just his leg would become uncloaked. Now, as for how I think that this will affect the Trapper and the Wraith, the Trapper's new escaping from the bear trap will help, honestly, I think primarily survivors that just got many, many unlucky pulls. Whereas the Trapper, I feel like now the Trapper, at playing as the Trapper, you have more of a guaranteed set of, oh, how many seconds, like you can figure out how many seconds it will take them to maximum 6 attempts. So you'll have a bit more knowing that, hey, they're going to get out on their 6th attempt no matter what, which is good. But I don't feel like this is going to help the Trapper get to survivors that are in the trap any more so than it did in the past. But it's a welcome change. Not the change that I was looking for. Personally, I was looking for the bag add-on to be, you know, base kit. But I don't know when that's going to happen. If it's ever going to happen, I'll take what I can get with the bear trap success chance. As for the Wraith, this, without the shimmer from 20 meters away, is pretty darn good. It allows him to be a true stealth killer, unless you're pretty much, I mean, you're kind of right up on him. They're not going to see you walking all the way across the map, and then they're going to be like, oh, well, it's the Wraith, and he's over there. They're not going to be able to see you, which is great. And the uncloaking speed boost going for 0.25 seconds longer isn't a huge buff, but it's very welcomed. It's 0.25 seconds of extra speed, which who would complain about that, you know? As for all the other stuff, it was all just bug fixes and, you know, whatnot. So these killers are getting love. Maybe it's not as much love as they should be getting, but they're getting love, which is good to see. Next, we have some perk changes to the perk Hex Undying. Now, for those of you that do not know, Hex Undying used to take, if let's say you have Ruin, Hex Ruin, and Hex Undying, if that Hex Ruin were to be cleansed, Hex Ruin would then be transferred onto another totem, another dull totem. So this could theoretically happen. They could theoretically cleanse your rune three times before they get to the fourth one and can finally cleanse it. Theoretically, I mean, in that case, they can cleanse your totem four times and then get to the Hex Undying. As long as that Hex Undying totem was up, that Hex Ruin can transfer to any dull totem. Now what they've done is they have made it so that, let's say you have Hex Ruin. Again, if it is cleansed, it will then transfer to the Hex Undying totem. The Hex Undying totem will then, the Hex Undying will then be gone because they've traded places, essentially. So this is a pretty big nerf to this this perk, but this perk was pretty insane to begin with. It also gives you a aura reading for whenever any survivor is near a dull totem. So this nerf is going to be a little hard, but it was needed. You shouldn't have to go around and cleanse 15 hex totems for absolutely no reason. So now the most that you'd have to cleanse in a match would be 2, which sucks for those of you who run that combo, Hex Undying and Ruin, or Hex Undying and Devour, or whatever it might be. But I think it was a much-needed gameplay balance decision. We have some miscellaneous perks that got fixed. Fixated now works while you're injured. Iron Maiden, the effect now lasts 30 seconds. And Second Wind duration has gone from 28 to 24 to 20 seconds. And Diversion now charges in 40 seconds, 35 seconds, and 30 seconds. And the distance thrown is now 20 meters at all tiers. They've also made a few changes to Deep Wound, which it now always has a 20-second timer. This is for the Legion. The Frank's Mixtape and the Stab Wound Study have been adjusted to have the same proportional impact on Survivor's Deep Wound timers with this new change of Deep Wound. And Borrow Time's tier adjustments are now the duration of endurance status effect at 10 seconds, 12 seconds, and 15 seconds. So some Deep Wound readjusting slash balance things here. The Legion could possibly benefit from this, but I think what the Legion really, really does benefit from is the new Mangled, the way that Mangled works now. Mangled status effect always lasts on until fully healed. So if you are injured, and let's say the Legion has a smiley face, the yellow smiley face add-on that makes you mangled, now they will always have that status effect until they are fully healed. And if you've played you against the Legion, it's really kind of pointless to heal in a lot of situations. So them either being forced to waste their time and heal or suffer from the Mangled status effect permanently, this is a big buff to Legion. I do play a good bit of Legion, and I know that there was a bug with Legion where he would run at normal speeds in his Feral Frenzy, which obviously makes no sense, and his lunge is also kind of bugged. I didn't see anything about that in the patch notes, but honestly, when I play Legion, I can't really tell. I just heard about it from other Legion players, but I'm hoping that they fix that, and they kind of just swept that under the rug, because obviously that is a pretty huge bug. But this Mangled effect status now makes that smiley, what is it called, the yellow smiley face pin, whatever it's called, now that gives you Mangled whenever you inflict them a deep wound. That's a very, very good buff to Legion, in my opinion, because it built-in game stall down, or a stall, is with that one little add-on. Now they're either forced to heal against a killer where healing is largely useless in most cases, and you know, it lasts until they're fully healed. So you're either going to get the Mangled effect value, or you're going to get value from the survivor's healing against a killer that is not beneficial to heal against. So this is a great buff for Legion, and to Mangled in general. It's going to make it a hell of a lot better. So this is a great buff. I really do like what they've done with Mangled, so that it actually has a good impact on the game and is not completely useless to run a perk or an add-on that applies this effect. Moving on to some of the smaller things, we have some bug fixes, and there are a couple of bug fixes, but a lot of them are just kind of situational. I'm just going to go over some funny ones that I found, which is fix an issue with Steve's lips while gesturing, which I don't really know what that means. I mean, I suppose it's like the come here or over there gesture, but what in the world? I just have no idea what could have been wrong. And there was also a bug where Elodie's scream was way louder than the others, which if you've played a match with an Elodie, you know this, because you can hear her scream from all the way across the map. It is hilarious. So they fixed a good bit of bugs here. Most of them are just like one-off, like if you've experienced the bug, it's like a one-off thing. There are no huge bugs that they fixed. They fixed a couple things with crashing on PC and some issues on Switch, PS5. But other than that, there wasn't too many bug fixes this patch that were very meaningful. So that is going to cover this patch note. Overall, this patch note is good and bad, I think, because obviously the user interface is a huge issue, and the commitment that behavior has made to us and then gone back on, essentially, it's kind of huge. But other than the user interface, I think the updates that they've done have been pretty okay. To end things off here, the tome and the archives will start, they have started yesterday on February 10th, and the Gilded Stampede event will start today at 11 a.m. So that's going to be something to look out for. On another note, also the Rift has opened, which has quite a few cool cosmetics in it. I think even if you're not going to go for the paid option, you can get the Trapper cosmetic and the Hillbilly cosmetic, which I think those are both really, really cool. And if you wanted to go for the paid option, the Nurse and the Oni skin are also pretty nice. off the top of my head, the Survivor skins, I don't really know who they're for or what they look like, because I'm more of a killer main, but still, the skins are pretty nice. I'd definitely say they're worth putting the investment of your Auric cells in. If you can get it all done, then you'll obviously get them back, which is a nice feature. And just to wrap things up, this has been the 4.5.0 mid-chapter update for Dead by Daylight that went live on February 9th. Thank you guys all so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed the first episode of the podcast, and I hope you guys will come back for some more. All right, take care, you guys.